Bless you. I want to bring to you a psalm that has been a blessing to me before we can get into my main text this morning. So if you will, please open up your Bibles in the book of Psalm 84. I had an opportunity to share this in Sister Hannah's house. And some of you know that she lost her father. And by the way, she already arrived in Kenya. And the burial is going to be on Tuesday. Please continue to keep them in your prayers. And she was very, very thankful for all of you who responded and who sent a word of encouragement to her. They were very, very delighted. It's good to belong to a family. Amen? Because one day I'm down, tomorrow I'm up, and we all need each other. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now listen intently to this psalm from verse number 5. This is what the Bible says. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Praise the Lord. This word has continued to explode in my spirit. And the Bible says that we are on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage, what do you understand by a pilgrimage? It's a journey, right? Our hearts are set on a pilgrimage. We have been set on a journey. We are not going to be here permanently. Are you listening to me? We are not going to be here forever, but we are going to be here temporarily. I want you to imagine yourself in a capsule of time, because that's exactly where the Lord has given us. That out of the time limit that he has given there to be on earth, he has set and allocated a time capsule for every single living being. And for the humanity, he has given about 70 days, right? When you are born, they say you are born in 1989. You are born in 1971. You are born in 1996. And when you die, they put that inscription, born 19 whatever, and died in whatever year that they died, right? Now, between those 2 years is a capsule. There's a time that you lived here on earth, you know? And the Lord has really been exploding this idea into me that, you know, I need to really be responsible in the time capsule that the Lord has given me. Now, think about it. The Lord has given you about a block number of years. If it could be 80 years, there's some people who claim that they want to live 100 years. Whether God grants you to live at 120, or whether you live to be 100 years or 80 years or 70 years, I don't think it really makes a difference. If in that block of time that the Lord has given us, we don't leave a legacy. Praise the Lord. And what is it that the Lord has given to a man that he may accomplish? Solomon, in all his wisdom, Solomon, in all that he acquired, at the end of explaining everything that he had, in chapter number 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes, verse number 13, this is what Solomon said, that after all has been said and done, after all have been said and
done, after all the accomplishment, after the good career, after living in a nice house, after driving the most expensive car, after exploring the world, after flying, you know, all the jumbo jets of the and the systems of the earth, after meeting the presidents of this earth,
the whole duty of man is to love God with the whole of our hearts and the whole of our minds. Praise the Lord. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I've been thinking, church, listen to me. It's just a few minutes up. I just want to explain this. I've been thinking about how sometimes as human beings, we can get into a habit of being jealous for somebody. And I've not heard that it has happened here or anywhere. But you know that people are jealous of other people. This is not the first time that you're hearing from my mouth that people are jealous of other people. So you know people are. Actually, right now, there could be somebody who is jealous of you because of the career you have. People are jealous of other people because of various reasons. People are jealous because they think you're beautiful and they think they are not. People can be jealous because you have more money than them. People are jealous of other people because you drive a nice car. People might be jealous of you because, you know, you are in America and they are not. People might be jealous because you own certain things and they don't. I mean, people can be jealous about you because of various reasons. And we have an opportunity. Every single one of us has an opportunity to be bad to the other person. You know, you can either decide to backbite somebody. You can even decide to, you know, go tell on other people, or just create a misfortune, an unfortunate situation for your brother, right? And you know, people can do bad things to other people. You know that. And you also know that people can do good things to other people. It is all a choice that we can make. But on the background of what I'm telling you, listen to what the Lord has been telling me, that every single one of us has been allocated a capsule of time. If I would be living forever, then I would have maybe an idea that, you know what, Julius is not going to be better than me. We are going to live on this earth forever. I'm going to make sure I got to fight out so that he doesn't leave me. I'm going to enter into a competitiveness with him. And by the way, the whole idea of competitiveness, if used in a nice way, is not a bad idea. But you know, think about it. If God has given us just a small capsule of time, then what would we rather do? Would we rather be better and would we rather be a blessing to another person, or would we rather be the opposite of a blessing to another person? Are you thinking about me? I mean, are you thinking of what I'm saying? Think about this. Somebody has really did something very, very wrathful. It's twice in my life that some friends of mine came and they did something that I could never ever imagine that a friend could do to me. You know, I did everything within my ability to help them out. But behind behind their minds, they were mooting or they were creating some evil against me. And when I realized what they were doing, I was really hurt. In my heart, because I could not imagine why they did these things for me. And I struggled for some time, you know, to just even have an idea that so and so would do this thing to me. And ultimately, as I began to pray and as I began to call upon the name of the Lord, I even got surprised that the Lord gave me the grace to forgive them, you know. Last year, I told you guys about so many people, friends of mine that I trusted, and they defrauded me so much of my money. You know, and as a consequence, because of the money they took, I was in an off position whereby I could not go up because some people just failed to be trusted. And let me tell you, one morning when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me. I thought I was going crazy. And he was telling me, I want you to go and forgive all these people that owe you money. And I was like, I can't believe what you're telling me, God, because as a consequence, I've gotten into debt because of what these people did to me.
I've gotten into situations where I owe people money and I'm not in a position to pay them. And here you are, you're telling me to forgive them. Let me tell you, that's one of the most difficult things that you can ever do. When friends fail you, when friends do things that are wrong. But coming back to what I'm talking to you, I'm in a capsule of time and I have a choice to do. And in that very morning, I said, okay, God, I'm going to forgive these people. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, call them up and tell them that they owe you nothing except for love. And some of them owed me a lot of money. And let me tell you, that's exactly what I did last year. At some point, I called these guys up. In the first place, they couldn't even believe what I was telling them. But I told them, I want you to know from today, from this day, that you owe me nothing but love. Praise be to God. The reason why I'm telling you this is we have a choice, we have an opportunity either to do good or to do bad things to our people. But we're in a capsule of time. Is it forgiveness that the Lord might be talking to you concerning somebody that either wronged you? Please go ahead and forgive them. Is it an opportunity that God has given you to be good to somebody? Please go and do that good to that other person. And the Lord is going to bless you. At the end of the day, whether we live to be 70 or 80 years old, the Lord will look back at what you did. And he will applaud us. Applaud or give us a reward on the things that we served him on. Are you listening to me? Our hearts have been set on a privilege. And listen to what the Bible says. It says this. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pool. They go from strength to place. Now, as they pass through the valley of Baca, how many people have been in a valley this past year? Now, a valley is a place of, it is not a place of really rejoicing and feeling like, you know, you are got it. As they pass through the valley of Baca, a valley is a down place, you know? It is a place you belong. Oh, when am I going to be on an elevated place? When am I going to get the strength to climb out of this valley? But the Bible says, as they went through the valley of Baca, the rain, they make it a spring. In other words, God has the capability to make good out of a bad situation. And even in 2013, the challenges that we are going to face, church, listen to me very carefully. Always look for the good that can come out of a valley. Amen? As they went through the valley of Baca, they made it a spring. And as they were really in that valley, they didn't just concentrate on, we are in a downgrade. We are in a bad situation. We are in a situation whereby we've been beaten up by the storms of life. Always look forward because God has the ability to make good out of a bad situation. Amen? And the Bible says that rain came and they created a pool out of it. Praise be to God. May God help us so that every time we're in a challenging situation, that we shall be able to see the ability of God creating some good out of a bad situation. Are you listening to me? Praise be to God. And the verse number 7, they say it says this, and they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear to the God of Jacob. And I love verse number 10 and 11. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun. My God. This is actually what really is really blowing up my mind. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Think about what a sun is to us. S-U-N. A sun is the source of our food. Do you know that? Huh? Most of our food is as a result of the sun, right? If the sun is just removed from our sight, of if the earth would never have a contact with the sun, we'd all go hungry. Because the sun is responsible of causing the plants to make their food. and the food is, and the plants are eaten by the animals, and we get food, right? The earth, the sun also regulates the what? Our seasons, right? Right now it's very cold when you heat outside just because of the movement of the, no, the movement of the earth. And so, so when the sun, when the earth moves in a certain area, I know you're saying the sun because that's what you all knew. When the earth moves, you know, rotates and tilts in certain ways, the sun is in a different position and it gives us our seasons, right? And that really encourages me, church, and I want you to be encouraged that the Lord oversees your seasons. It is not going to always be summer in your life. It is not always going to, is not always going to be winter. Not everybody loves winter. There are people who love heat than cold, right? I particularly love it when it is hot. I don't like it when it is cold, you know? But you know, God is responsible for your winters. And thank God when you're in your winter season, because around the corner, spring is just about to come. Amen? Some of us have been really in 2012, we were really in a prolonged season. Your winter was so cold, you could not even go out. Everything looked so bleak and everything looks like it's breaking away. But God is my sun. Wait until the earth just tilts a little bit and the sun will be closer to the earth and suddenly my spring will be coming. Listen to me, church. Do not laugh at somebody who is going through winter. Because you might need them when their spring is coming around. Right? Because you might be in your summer right now and your winter is just popping up, knocking on your door. Are you listening to me? And the Lord is teaching me and teaching me that while I'm on this earth, I am going to be in seasons. I'm going to experience my seasons. But the Lord still is still going to be my son. Praise the Lord. The Lord God is my son. Oh, my goodness. So we have an opportunity and a choice to do good to our brothers and sisters. To leave a legacy. If God has called you as a child of God and he has given you an opportunity to be a blessing to another brother, be a blessing all you can. Because you know why? You are not going to live here forever. Pastor Francis, we are not going to be here forever. So whenever you have an opportunity, if somebody wrongs you, just let it go, because you know what? God, I'm in a business of pleasing God. I'm only here for 70 years. And you know what? Not all those first 70 years are really going to be productive, because if you ask Joshua how to serve God, my son, he doesn't know. He's still a kid. So we can take away even from the 70. And when somebody is a senior citizen, how many of you know that they don't have strength enough to serve God? Billy Graham today, he would want to be on a crusade, but he can't, right? He is in the winning, he is in the twilight of his life. So to be honest with you, the number of productive years are not even 70. They might even be less than that. Now think about it, that I'm going to hold a grudge against a brother when I'm only here to really serve the Lord for 50 years. Come on, man. No, I'm not going to have any grudge on you. Let me tell you, man, listen, and I want you can take this. I'm going to love you, man. I'm going to love you. Nothing is going to stand between me and you just because you did something wrong to me. And I'm going to leave it aside and hold you together, because there's a reason why we are all members of the body of Christ. If we were not significant in the body, then Jesus would just be the only member of that body. And he would be the only single organ. But he found it necessary for the promotion and for the propagation of the gospel to bring you all as members of the body of Christ. And no member is insignificant. Every member is important. Are you listening to me? Look at your body, and I've told you this many times. These members that we can see outside the body, your nose, your eyes, the hair, the nose and your mouth and the teeth, you know, they can celebrate. And they have an opportunity to feel like, you know what, we are the really people, you know, because you know what, even though the body has many organs, some of your organs have never been seen. And you know, actually, you will die even before seeing them. Have you ever thought about that, Gide? That you will die, man, before you are going to live 70 years, but you'll never see your liver. If you see it, you just faint and die. In fact, before you see. But those members, the fact that they are not seen. Oh, God, I don't know who I'm talking to. The fact that those members inside your body, the fact that we do not see them, we do not fail to celebrate them. And we cannot live this life without them. Remove a liver from somebody and that person will be dead. Remove a heart from somebody and they'll be. Do you know you can survive with one eye? Have you seen people just survive? They are really blind in one eye. Something happened. Maybe it's a sharp object pierced their eye, but they are still living. But you remove a heart from somebody, that person is gone. So, what am I saying? Every single one of us, do not look down on yourself. There's a reason why God brought the revelation of Jesus and you accepted him. You had a choice to make, but you accepted him. And you said, God, here I am. I surrender my life to you. And you were born again. And you are baptized into his body. And the fact that you've been baptized into his body, it means, therefore, that we have a purpose and a responsibility and a purpose to carry on. Are you listening to me? Will, you have a purpose for you to accomplish. It could be some of us could have just been created in the body to just be a good model to other people. Are you listening to me? And not all of us can do just one job. You know, God has given various responsibilities to every single one of us. What you're good at, Tony, I may not be good at. But the fact that you do it and I don't do it doesn't mean that what you do is not significant. It could be God just called you to be an usher in the house of God. And by the time people come into the house of God, you're smiling at them and you're doing it with the whole of your heart and you're doing it willingly without being pushed, without doing it so that pastor can see and so other brothers can see that even in the midst of the night, if no pastor would be in this church, you still come down to usher. That's what I'm talking about, church. That whatever God has called you to do, God has called some of us to be encouragers. That even when you call them in the middle of the night, at midnight, they'll still pick up your phone. They don't do it because, you know, they have been given that responsibility by a man. But they do it because they know they have received that call from God. Are you listening to me? No responsibility is small. That's why God created you and put you into the body of Christ. And we may not be really thousands in this building, but you know what? Whatever number that we are, we can come together and we can encourage one another. How many of you know that the saints who are in Antioch weren't so many? But because of the way they carried themselves, the whole earth, today we read about the Christians in Antioch. That it is in Antioch when people knew the believers as Christians, because they loved one another, they cared for one another, they did things as Christ did them. The disciples of Jesus Christ were only 12. Are you listening to me? And today the whole earth is evangelized just because of what was deposited in them, and they agreed to take it and to carry their responsibilities. If you're a mother today, you may not even be doing so many things. But the one responsibility that I know for sure that God has given you is to model a generation for the future. What were the words that you speak to your children, the way you bring them up, the patience that you have with them, and also the fathers too. I'm speaking to myself too as a father. The way I talk to my children, the way I relate with them, I'm modeling a life for the future generation. Some of us didn't even have that opportunity. You came from a home whereby even nothing was ever appreciated. Have you been in those homes or visited some homes where you get there, before you get to the door, there are curse words that are flying everywhere? You know, a child is being called a monkey, another one is being called a cow, another one a tortoise, everywhere. I mean, it's like the language. Have you been in a home like that? You know? And I know, do not, if that is the kind of a culture where you came from, You don't have to live like they did. You don't even have to do it as they did. We can say, do you know what? The bark stops at me. I'm going to speak nice words to my children. I'm going to mold them a good generation. If I don't do anything else, that I will stand before Christ and I will confess before the Lord that I did my duty as a parent. I carried my responsibility to bring these children up in the ways of God, the way you trained me, Lord. And you, let me tell you, what a blessing when you know that you brought up your children well. And when you look at them, you know, if they mess around, you know what? My hands, I've washed my hands. They're not messing around, just not because I didn't train them well. We had Bible study in our house. I taught them the word of God. I took them to church. If they mess around, Lord, it's not on me. Lord, because I did my responsibility. A man has to carry their own cross. But when they were little, I brought them up in the house of God and I told them the good word of the Lord. If they mess up themselves, then I know I did my job and I did my responsibility well. Church, listen. What has God called you to do in the house? What have you been called to do in the body? I don't even know. I just feel like that we need to share this. What has God called you to do in this house? Thank you so much, because without your financial help, we would not be able to pay the rent. Without your financial help, we would not be able to pay for the bills, this house, and cars every single month. We spend about $400 just to pay for electricity. Pay about $2,000, you know, for this rental building. You know, when we have money and people have called us and they, you know, among us and they have a need, we all come together and we give them a seed so that they can help themselves in a little bit. Through your financial blessings, we're able to carry the day-to-day activities of this house. And thank you. But beside that, what have you been called to do in the house? What have you been called to do? Could it be that you're sitting on a talent and you know what? The gift that the Lord has given you is not yours alone. Can you imagine if God called me to be a pastor just to pastor myself? You know, I just want to, when I feel discouraged, I can go to myself and encourage myself. Huh? What has God called you to do? The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Whatever responsibility the Lord has given you, or whatever is calling you to do, arise from your seat and carry it. Do it with the whole of your heart. Beatrice, when you're cooking that tea, cook it. Man, I would wake up in the morning thinking, I'm going to make the best tea ever today. You know? And when they fail to come, just go to the kitchen, cook it. Let me tell you, that work will never go to waste. Some of you don't even think that cooking tea will come up before the Lord. It will. The many times you've been asked and you refused, you never even called, nor call, nor show. It will. It will come up. You know when you grumble, let me tell you, you know you think you're grumbling to yourself or grumbling to another human. You're grumbling to God. Do you know God even can raise a stone to cook for us tea? No, Julia, seriously. Now, guys, let us look at it critically. No, seriously. God said that if you don't sing for me, I can make these stones, dead stones, to sing for me. Why do you think that you have to do it? It is a privilege to serve God. Ma, it is a privilege. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Today, think about this. How many people are sick in the hospital? You know, sometimes it's good to be going to be visiting even hospitals. Eh? Like when you're going to see somebody, just ask them whether you can pass through the wards and see how people, man, are struggling. Somebody is trapped up to the bed. They cannot even lift a finger. People, they cannot even feed themselves. Oh, and I'm talking this, and I know we have so many nurses. See, guys, don't you see this in the hospitals? You know? Huh? The GTU people. I don't know who GTU people, but you understand. The GTU people. Surprisingly, we have so many nurses here. So, but you know also you can be a nurse forever and you assume because, oh, it's just a career, like just the way you go to an office. You get used to, you know, and you know, and sometimes even when you speak some words, oh, I can throw it, yeah, you know, just because it's a career. Yeah, I know you can say that, by the way. It's very easy, even if you never pronounce it. You say it in your heart, you say, when with this one also even begin to take responsibility? Do I have to roll them? Huh? And you're rolling them grumbling. Roll, all right. Or you what? Let me tell you, those words are going before Christ. Whether you like it or not, those words are going before God. He hears every conversation. Even if you don't pronounce it with your mouth, he is seeing the thoughts. He is able to see the thoughts, how you're thinking, how you're serving, your attitude for service. Why do you serve God? Do you serve God just so that I can see it? Man, listen, the only thing that I can do to you is come and tell you, oh, thank you, my sister. Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you. How did you even do that? Now, those words don't even have any value. It is just a tone, a nice tone that I put. And, of course, I have to have that nice tone. And I'm speaking it with all the love and from genuineness from my heart. But think about the Lord when he's in heaven and when you're doing it for him. Because anything you do as a child of God, you're not just doing it, but you're serving God. There's no difference between secularism and what you do in church. Do you know that? Okay, I say this. There's no boundary between what you do in your job and what you do in church. Okay, I just delivered so many people because, you know, when you're in church here, you're so holy. But when you get out of that, we are not going to speak this in the church. Let us just get out of that door. But in reality, Ben, there's no difference between what you do out there and in the church. Because most of the things actually happen. Look at it this way. If we can only be holy on Sunday, you wake up every morning and you're putting on, it is like a suit you put on of holiness. And when you hit the door, you know, you remove it and you say, now I'm in the world now, you know. And when you come in the church, you put on again this, what? Most of the things happen outside the church. You know? Would you wish pastor would be with you 24 hours? Or he will be within what you think within 24 hours? Somebody said, oh no. Would you rather that pastor would overhear the conversation that you speak with your children every 24 hours? That I'm in the listening. Think about this. That I'm in the listening. Tony. When you're in a disagreement with that little girl, that I would be able to access your mind at any given time remotely, that I would just push the button and let me see what Julius is thinking. Oh my God, you say that? That with a push of a button, but think about this. Jesus sees that. He doesn't even need a remote control. He sees it. It is ministry, friends. It is ministry. Whether God has called you to be a nurse, do it as Christ will do it. Whether Christ has given you whatever responsibility in the house. And I know what I'm trying to say here is easily said than done. But you know what? We can ask for his grace. His grace is sufficient. We can even watch over what we say. If actually we can work just on our tongue, we'll be 90% okay. Or even ask the Lord to transform our minds, 80% of the battle will actually be won. Are you listening to me? Oh, Jesus, may the Lord really help us. Whatever we've been called to do in this house, in 2013, the preacher here last Sunday said that let us expand our capacity to receive. How are we going to expand our capacity to receive if we have not even prepared for what we are going to receive? I mean, we better have been set to prepare, because if we can expand our capacity, if we can enlarge our capacity so that, you know, if I only have a cup, then I need to have a drum. If you had a drum, then you need to have a reservoir tank. If you had a reservoir tank, you might even have something larger. But you have to be prepared for what will be coming in, right? Otherwise, it can destroy you. You don't just expand your capacity if you're not really willing to receive. It would be better just stay with your cup, you know, until when you'll be ready to receive more. Are you listening to me, church? My call, and I'm concluding now, my call to us, church, is if we want God to move in our lives, we consistently have to know that we're in a capsule of time. And that no matter what happens, we are going to face challenges, okay? Every single one of us here has faced some challenges. It could be financial. It could be relationships. It could be, you know, career-wise. It could be school. It could be, I mean, name it. It could be many things that we have faced. I, too, have faced challenges. But you know what? The word of God would be wrong if there were no challenges that were promised in the Bible. But what am I going to do when I'm faced with those challenges? You know, I'm here to put it to you guys. Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters, that those challenges are not going to last forever. Just as the winters of the physical winters and the seasons that we know don't last forever. We are not going to be in a cold season forever. It's really going to get colder before we can come to spring, right? But surely, spring is around the corner. And so if we also have not to be myopic in what we do, because if we just concentrate on the little problems that we are going through, we have to look at life with a bigger picture. Are you seeing it? Because you're not going to, just last here forever. I may have really a money problem right now, but I'm just broke. I'm not just going to be broke forever. I'm going to have money. And don't also feel like because you have money, you are laughing at me because I don't know. Because you might be in your summer, but you are around the corner. Winter might be coming and you might need me. Much as I need you right now. Because this is life. Life, it is, especially when you're a child of God, is like, when is the next challenge going to come? I know it's around the corner, but when? But I also know that challenges never last forever. Look at the life with a big picture, that I'm going to leave a legacy no matter what. I'm going to do whatever the Lord has entrusted me to do, and I'm going to do it with the whole of my might. I'm not going to leave any room to hate anybody. I'm not going to leave any room to not forgive anybody. I'm not going to leave any room to not love anybody. I'm going to love like I will never love again. I will serve the Lord like I will never serve him again. I will pray like I will never pray again. Are you listening to me? Look at the life with a big picture. Some of you, God, have called you to be intercessors. And you started praying. And you started praying. But the moment you started praying, because the devil knows exactly what you're doing, they threw a bomblet on you to silence you. And you were really here to go, I don't think I'm going to pray anymore. Why? Because when I started praying, this and this happened, this and this happened. How about if I take a break? You know? Some of you, God called you to be musicians. And I'm not saying this because of Zippy. Some of you think that I'm saying this because, no, Zippy, I'm not saying I picked this because of you. Some of you have called you to be encouragers. That when you open up your mouth, man, and speak a word, all somebody needs is your word. God. All somebody needs is your word. But because you're so mean with your word, you don't even want to speak that word to be an encouragement to somebody. Think about it, man. Hiya, you're laughing. There are people, actually, they will not even speak to you. Knowing they have information, they will not give it to you. Julius, think of it. Is that not crazy? That I know that if only I know what he needs. I have information what Julius is stuck on right now. But because if I give it to him, my God, no. Let him get stuck. You'd rather get stuck other than giving him that opportunity. You know somebody who has a job exactly that fits the description where you've gone to school and you've studied for. But because if I give that information, he might get more dollars than me. No, not giving this information. Why? What are you going to do with it? You're going to be here only 50 years to serve the Lord and you cannot even give that information? May somebody deny you information also. No, I reverse that. I reverse it. I'm just playing, you know. But I'm trying to say this. Wanganga, if you have information that I need, man, and you know that really, really, pastor, if I can tell him this, if I can give him only, and it might not even just a sentence. You know, pastor, there's this man that actually is in Louisville, and this man is a friend of mine. All I need to do is pick up the phone and call him, and you go talk to him. He has exactly what you need. God uses men to help other men. Do you know you will never see God coming into, you know, showing up in our congregation. I'm God. Give me all your requests. You'll never see. You can stay all your life. If you see him, you'll be dead. He who sees God is dead. You cannot see him face to face. But God will use man to help another. You're not in this church by chance. You're in this church so that you can benefit out of the relationships that we ought to have here in church. Are you listening to me? Steve here is a computer guy, man. I had some problems with my drives. They all collapsed. And you know what? I asked Steve, son, can you do these things for me? Oh, he was so glad. Oh, bring even the ones that you don't even need. I'll take all the information that you need. Steve, thank you. And was willing even to come and get them from my house. He was a blessing to me. I don't know anything about drives. I don't know anything about computers. But he knows something about computers. And he was able to be a blessing to me. Are you listening to me? Guys, there are things, you know. The other day, you know, Mutali had he was selling electricity things, you know. He sells so many things. Actually, this time he was selling some rates, plans for electric. I think also Brother Kimodo does the same. And he came and told me, you know, how much have you been making electricity? I couldn't believe that Reliant Energy has been really ripping me off until Mutali told me what he would give me. He helped me. If you have information, he just came and asked me. Church, let us be sensitive to the needs amongst us so that when you know that problem, you can say, oh, can you know you can do this? Do you know that you can do the other? Do you know that you can be a blessing to this? Do you know if you do this? You know, do not withhold because you're only here for a limited time. And you want to leave a legacy. When people look back, they want to see, oh my God, we are celebrating a life. Stand on your feet. Amen. Praise Jesus. The Lord is our sun, and he is our shield. The Lord is your sun. Same, the Lord is my sun. Man, you know, that is like the conclusion of the whole matter. The Lord is your sun. Just think about it. He's your sun. He regulates your seasons. He is my sun. He is my food. He is my provision. Oh, when I'm so cold, he provides warmth. He is everything. The Lord is my sun. Father, we thank you. We lift up your names, O God, for speaking to us, O God. Father, many times when we come in your presence, you give us psalms, you give us word of encouragement. And I pray that this word, Father, will penetrate into the hearts of men and women. Some of them are treasures in the kingdom of God, but sometimes they don't even realize it. And sometimes, Father, they are so hidden from the sight of many, but their function in the body of Christ is so significant, it's so essential, so crucial. The body cannot operate without them. Help them see themselves that way. They don't need to be seen or celebrated by human beings, but you see them, Lord, in the sacred places when they call upon the name of the Lord, heavens comes to a standstill. And heaven waits until they call so that certain functions in the body, certain operations within the body may take place. I pray that they will see themselves that way. There are some of us, Lord, who are mighty men and mighty women of valor. But too long a time they've been looking down on themselves. They didn't think that they amount to much. And sometimes storms of life came down their path, Father, and they were discouraged. I pray that you cause them to arise. Let there be an awakening that will begin from their hearts in the name of Jesus. Cause them to see the giant in themselves. And cause them to see the significant that they are in the body. Father, I pray that we shall have a big picture of what life is. That, Father God, at the end of it all, we want to look back, Father, to the things that we did for the kingdom. Father God, leaving the elementary teachings of Jesus Christ and moving on to harder things. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is connected to this work at Empowerment Christian Center. I speak a blessing to their lives. I speak a blessing to their children. I speak protection over their lives, oh God. I pray, Lord, even as they dwell in the marketplaces, that such a divine favor will accompany their lives in the name of Jesus. That they will see things the way you see them. That you open up their eyes, oh Father, that they begin to see the tremendous work that you have in store for each one of them. Father, as they begin to wake up and arise and touch the things that they are supposed to touch, let them be visited by your presence in the name of Jesus. I pray that the glory of God will permeate into their hearts in the name of Jesus, oh God, into the crevices of their lives. And Father God, that any area that is unsurrendered to you, Lord, that it will be surrendered totally to the presence of God in the name of Jesus. Father, teach us how to be our brother's keeper. Help us, Lord, even to see others as better than we are. Help us to humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us to recognize the spirit of pride among us. And help us, Lord, to always see the good that can come out of a bad situation. Father God, you've given us a church, a mandate to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For some, we'll never speak a word, but just the way we carry ourselves, we will do so, Lord, as an epistle. They will read our lives. They will read what we do. They will read what we talk and how we dress and how we carry ourselves as sons and daughters of the kingdom. And some will be saved just by looking at us and just the way we model our lives. I pray that, Father God, at the end of it all, that, Father God, when we look back, we'll see that we were committed servants of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender our will. We surrender our lives. We totally yield ourselves to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We surrender ourselves to you, O Lord. Oh, we totally yield ourselves to you, O God. Father, where we've disobeyed you, forgive us. Father, where we've been unfaithful, may you forgive us. Father, where we were jealous, where we were unforgiving, Lord, may you help us to forgive. Help us, Lord, even to get into this other phase of life where, Lord, we'll be like you. Where we'll give, Father, that which is most precious, the gift that you've placed in our hearts to others. And that the true commandment of Christ may be fulfilled, that we have loved one another. Thank you, Father, even as we embrace the weaknesses of one another, Lord, and to see each other as one that Christ died for, that we will esteem one another and hold each other, Lord, with greatest esteem and honor. And in doing so, Lord, you'll be glorified. We thank you, Heavenly Father. You might be in this auditorium never giving your life to Jesus. Giving your life to Jesus is the easiest thing that you can ever do. The Bible says that He stands and knocks at the door of your heart. If only you can open up your heart, He'll come and save you. And you begin a life with Christ. The Bible says that all you have to do is believe in your heart that He died and rose and He is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. You believe God unto righteousness, and then all you got to do is open up your mouth and confess the Lord unto salvation, and you'll be born again. Is there anyone among us who's never given their life to Jesus? Lift up your hand, and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we sing this song, I'm going to call Pastor Francis to come over here.
Leave myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Come on, pronounce these words to the Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, Lord. I give myself away. So you can use me. I gave myself away. Oh, I gave myself away. So you can use me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can have a seat. Just have a seat, please. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise God.